And we're back. I shaved my beard. I lost the Australian accent.
Very subtle.
Yes. So, first of all, before we dig back into this, I want to give a big thank you. People that are on the chat are getting great answers from Brady Gaster, Scott Kuhn, Peter Moorfield, and others. So thanks a lot. If you're not on the chat, the chat is a really good place to get answers to questions. So thanks a bunch. Also, we had some questions. This last session with HTML5, very popular. There are some great sessions already. There's two courses on MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com, course number 480 and 481, two of the top courses. So for people that are looking for more information on HTML5, great place to dig deeper. So those are full jumpstart 8-hour days. Okay, so let's dig into building a service layer with ASP.NET Web API. So we are on module 4. Here's what we're going to be talking about is, first of all, how ASP.NET Web API fits into the whole, you know, ASP.NET and web forms and MVC and all that. And then we're going to look at consuming a web API, first using jQuery in a web application, and then using a Windows 8 client. So, you know, we've looked before at, you know, how does this ASP.NET, one ASP.NET thing work, and we've got this core, and, you know, I've got this formatted a little different. We've got this blue side over here that all is built to serve up HTML. So HTML is great for people. It displays in a browser. People look at the HTML, and then they copy and paste the URL and forward the funny cats to their friends. So that is the people side. But then over on this right side, we've got purple, and that's delivering things like JSON, XML, binary, other non-people things. And these are things that people don't like to read. Most normal people do not like to read JSON or XML or binary format. But computers love them. Happy robots love them. And so we want ASP.NET to be something that can work, you know, best in the right place. So people were kind of jamming, you know, JSON or XML into, you know, web forms or MVC and or their own custom handlers, and you can do that, but we can help you out quite a bit using current web standards, HTTP, JSON, XML, etc. So you can find out more if you go to ASP.NET/Web API. This is where we have, you know, the team has done an amazing job of creating, for one thing, samples. So if you click on the samples tab here, it'll take you over to CodePlex, and they've published huge amount of samples that you can run. There's also some good videos and, you know, other content. So we've only got a half hour to dig into this content here, but if you want to learn more, there's quite a bit more there. And Web API is, you know, we talked about MVC being kind of a configurable action pack where you can hook in what you want. And Web API is that to the extreme. So it's very easy to use. It works out of the box very well. But you can override absolutely anything in there. And so they've got some great samples that show you how to do that. So first, let's look at what a Web API controller method looks like. So if you remember our models and controller actions from MVC, from the MVC session, same kind of thing. We can work with a model class that's it's POCO, it's simple CLR object, and then we have an API controller that's just like an MVC controller, but we're not returning a view. So that's really kind of the only difference. And so, you know, we're using the same paradigm, but this is an API controller, so it's able to work better with HTML or with HTTP.
Well, and it's added a convention.
Yes.
For how it's structured.
That's a huge point. So, and we'll look at this more in the code. But so here this is, you know, we've got this API controller and we're just creating, populating some data. So now when we're returning something, here our method here is get. So get is an HTTP verb. And so if somebody browses to this person controller and uses the get HTTP verb, they're going to get back that person. So here it would return, you know, if you just do get, it's going to return the entire list, or if you do get/ID, it'll return a single person. All right. So, and routing, we looked a little bit at routing in MVC, and that's the concept of mapping a URL to some code. So URL request comes in, and routing is where you, or routing if you're English, is where you map that to the controller action that's going to fire and actually do something with that code. So here, you know, we're looking at the same kind of thing. We've got slash APIs where all our API controllers work, and slash person is the controller name, and then ID is what gets mapped in, is passed into that controller method to work. We can get in, so web API is really built to work well on HTTP, and it's all kind of built around the idea of, you know, not building new frameworks and not change, you know, just build right on top of some things that work really well for a lot of people. So you can get in and change things like your response message. So if somebody requests something, you can return an HTTP OK. If they request something and they're not authorized for it, you should return a not authorized response, HTTP status code not authorized, which would be a 401, or you know some specific HTTP 400 level response. So you're able to go in or you know of course 404 not found. So this is a great way where we're just kind of layering on top of that HTTP protocol. And so, in general, most of the time, in the past, we used XML. So AJAX, actually, the X in AJAX was XML, and everyone used that. XML is a pretty verbose syntax, and you know, you've got an open tag and a closed tag and all this stuff, and a lot of time the tags were a lot more than the actual data. And so over time, people have been using JSON more, JavaScript Object Notation. So Web API will work with either, and you don't have to worry about that, which is one of the great features of it. You just return a person, and Web API is going to look at the request header, and one of those headers is an accept header. And so the browser or the client, could be mobile app or Windows Phone, et cetera, is going to say, I prefer this content type. I prefer JSON or I prefer XML. And Web API is going to automatically format that in the correct syntax, correct format there. And of course, like I pointed out there earlier, we can layer on the right kind of HTTP verbs. So response messages, this should look a lot like the, this is very similar to an MVC update action method, except it's post, of course, because when you create something new on the web, you use a post verb. Or if you update it, you would use a put verb. So these are ways that we are using the HTTP standards and adapting them in a way that works with the MVC programming model. So here's an example of this. If we post a person, we can go in and we could do this via a web page, or you could do this with Fiddler or any kind of client. And that's going to update it on the server. So let's dig into some code. So I've got, I'm going to do file new project. I'm going to create an MVC application. And this is a really key point. I can use Web API I could use it in any MVC application. I could use it in any web forms application. I could use it in a console app. So Web API really works smoothly with MVC. It's the same kind of syntax. It works with your models and all that. But we've really taken some great efforts. The team has worked hard to make it so that it's completely separable. So again, you could host it in a service. You can do quite a bit with it. I'm going to use a new MVC4 project type, and I'm going to use the Web API template. And I'm doing that for a couple of reasons. One, I can hit F5 and I can actually browse a website. So it's creating an MVC website. And updated in the new 2012.2 release that we just shipped out on Monday, we've got support for help pages. So I'm going to just run this and we'll take a look at exactly kind of what we're going to see here. So this help pages allows for people to discover. So remember I talked about Web API talking well with robots, but not being very friendly with people because it's returning JSON or XML. And it's not documented, right? So even if I know the URL to hit, I get back some XML and I don't know what it means. And I don't know what kind of questions I can ask and what kind of things I'll expect to get back. So the team has worked to put in this API help page. So you'll see up in the header, I click on API. And it's creating some documentation for me. So this says, these are the things I can do. These are the API methods I'll hit. And I can get documentation. I can override all this. I can change what I can specify what the documentation should say. So here, if I browse to /API/values, I would expect to get back JSON in this format or XML in this format as shown below. So this helps me to discover an API. What's great about this, I've talked to a lot of API developers, and I'll say, how do you work with people who want to implement your API? So you've built a great API. How can people work with you? And they say, well, I write a document, or I update a web page. And then what happens when you change your API? Well, I update that, and then I send an email to them. Or, you know, so it's not really, it's not a very web-friendly way of working with this at all. And so with this web API, if I make a change here, it's reflected immediately. And that's done because this is actually at runtime. It's going through, and we've got an area, a help page area, and it is going through and inspecting the API. So we've got this API controller, and it's able to analyze that code, and it'll say, look, this is an API controller. These are the methods I've got. This is the return type, an iQueryable of string. Well, I know how to return, how to format an iQueryable of string, so I can generate that documentation. So all of that is, you know, generated for you, and it's also completely configurable. So if we look in here, as a simple example, we can go into, you know, we can look at how things are formatted. We can look at sample generation, and we can say, whenever text is displayed, I would like to change that text. I want to override it in a certain way, or I want to add in some additional validation. I can format it separately. So this is all completely changeable. Also, we use display templates. So you can say, if somebody requests something and it's going to get back, say, sample or an image, I can do some formatting around that image. So here, this is just returning an image, but I could link that to something. So a simple way for you to build living documentation. Living documentation is so much better than anything you finish, save, and email to somebody. So now we've got an API that's documented itself. Let's browse to it and see what we get back. So on the server, we've got, I'll close some of these down here, we've got my controller, and I've got a help controller. So my help controller, I want to look at my values controller, which is the main one. So areas, I was looking in the help area. If I go to the main applications, values controller, I can see if I request just get, it's going to return an array of string. So let's look at what happens there. So I'm going to browse to an IE. It's going to return me that JSON. So I actually want to start up the debugger. And I'm going to dock this. And we'll see, we'll look at our request response and see what happens. Okay. So I'm going to browse to /API values. So we see a prompt at the bottom. IE, different browsers handle things differently. IE says JavaScript or a JSON file is probably something you should download unless it's requested by JavaScript. So, but I'm just going to cancel that. But now I can look at what happened. So here's my request, and here's my, I can inspect that and see what did I send. Well, here are my headers, and here's my response. So my response body, oops, back to summary view. Could not be rendered. I'm not sure what I did wrong there.
Was it a get or a post?
Should have been a get.
Then a get doesn't have a response body, right? Excuse me. Sorry about that.
Right, but I should get back. I got that back at JSON. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Well, you return JSON. Save it off. They're not going to render it there, are they?
Yeah.
There you go. See?
Yep, okay. So there's my response body there. Exactly. I'm not sure what I did there. What I really want to look at, though, is we're gonna jump from this as just file new project and looking at, you know, sample to some actual code that's returning something. So there's some different ways when we get back our JSON data, you're not going to just be looking at it in a debugger. You're going to be looking at it in something that's going to, you're going to do something with that data. So the simplest case is I've got here an application we're using jQuery and Knockout to render a list of books. So I hit F5. If we zoom in on this here, this is a default.html. So this is just a simple HTML page. And this is it's calling back to an API on the server and getting back a list of books. So we'll look at that.
So can you show me the source for that again?
For the controller or for the...
Dual view source.
Okay. So there's my view source. So I've got a table, and then I've got some JavaScript methods at the bottom.
There's no data there.
Right, exactly. So the page loads up, there's no data, and it calls back. It uses jQuery to call back to the server, and then it uses Knockout to render that on the page. Okay. So so let's look at how that's returned. We've actually just got a getBook and getBooks, and getBooks is just calling return db.books.
Now you're returning iQueryable. Could you return iEnumerable?
I could. I absolutely could. And normally, if all I was going to do was return a list of books, that's where I would stop.
Okay. Right. And also, even though you're using Entity Framework, you could have used nHibernate or made an array or a text file or whatever.
Anything. Exactly. I could have generated data. I could have called out to Twitter and gotten some information. So I just need to get an iQueryable or an iEnumerable of something and return it, right? So, and we looked at the code quickly, but I'm just going to zoom in on that for a second here. So if I go to my default method, so when the page loads up, we're just going to call back, and we're going to use Knockout actually to bind to this, but we're just calling back into the service and rendering it. Okay? So now I'm going to show a new little feature we added with the new release that came out, which is OData support. So OData lets us do some things. And this is completely optional. You don't need to use OData if you don't want it, if it bothers you. But this is iData query syntax. So this is a key feature. You can use OData query syntax without worrying about the format that it gets back to you.
One of the early criticisms of OData was that it was too much. It's too complicated. too complicated.
Right, exactly.
Sorry. Yeah. It was asking you to buy in to a way of returning data that was more than most people wanted.
Right, exactly.
So this is a compromise.
Yep. So here, you know, if I start capturing, here I've got a pager. So I've got five items on the screen, and I'm going to hit the pager, and you can see I'm showing the URLs that I've got at the top. Okay, so we're able to set up some HTML paging, and we're just doing that by setting a skip and how many we want. So on the server, we've got that queryable result limit of 5, so we only return 5 at a time. And then I'm telling it, well, I want 5, and I want you to skip the first 15. So this $skip=15 is an OData standard query operator that'll say skip the first 15, right? So that allows us to, you know, I could do this myself. I could write my own methods for doing this. But I'm able to, to simplify those calls quite a bit. So here this is this format that I'm getting back. So if I look at the JSON data, this is actually pretty lightweight as far as JSON data goes. So this is this newer format they've been working on. This is called JSON Lite. And really, the team has started calling the previous version just JSON verbose. This is the JSON syntax you'll get back. So I've queried a bunch of books, and I'm getting back some JSON data, and I'm returning, you know, just rendering it on the page. And so I could also go in and do some additional things. When I'm using OData, it's up to me how much of it I want to use, but I could go in and start making additional queries. So here, for instance, I could say something like, I want you to filter, and I only want books, you know, with a certain publisher, and I want you to order them a certain way. So if you go to odata.org, you can see what different operators we support. You can see, you know, which ones are available, and so here we're only returning for Dover Publications, right? So these are documented. And as I was saying, if you go to odata.org, you can look up this. The standard's been published to OASIS. So it's, you know, actual open standard. And you can go in and dig into, okay, what sort of operators and also what kind of clients can work with OData format. There's a lot of clients out there, including, you know, even Excel. So I could browse to this URL in Excel and start digging through using OData operators. Okay. So there we've shown, you know, we've created something, we're able to get JSON data back, we could look at it in Debugger or Fiddler or whatever, not all that practical. We actually want to use that data somewhere. So first we've shown the simplest case of using it in via jQuery in a browser. And that's good, but it also kind of, it's easy to look at this and say, okay, you used, you know, some server-side web code and you updated a web page. So what am I seeing that's new? And the real big thing to think about is that this is, we're returning data that is machine readable. So I want to jump over to another, you know, kind of more taking this a step further example, and we want to see looking at a Windows Store application. So we are going to return data, and we're going to display it in a Windows Store app. So here I have a contact manager. This is based on a contact manager sample in the I earlier talked about the ASP.NET/web-API, and there's a samples area in there. And there's a contact manager sample in there, and they have a lot of different clients that they've hooked up to it. So I've made some changes to it here, but this is based on that. So they have a jQuery-based one where it'll display in a web page, but then they take it a step further, and so I've extended that a bit more with a Windows Store app. So if we look here, we've got a controller, and we've got a contacts controller. So I'm going to expect that I have a contact class. And here again, we just very simple, plain old CLR object, right? So if we look at this controller, we've got these same sort of methods that we talked about. We've got IEnumerables, and it's got a get contacts, and it's got a put, post, delete, create, create is using post, excuse me. So all of these are using those standard HTTP verbs to call services that return JSON or XML, depending on what the client wants. So now let's look over at the server. And if I go in there, we've got a... Actually, I'll just run it because I've got a breakpoint hit. So this is spinning up the web page, and I could browse through. So this is... Remember I talked about that we're generating that help content on the fly? So this shows for contacts, because we have a contacts controller. This shows my contacts method and what I expect to get back. And it shows, including all this, you know, Twitter, email, and all those property names. So useful information I could build against. But now let's also look at the store application. So I'm going to set that as my start project and run that. So here I'm using an emulator. This is bringing up the HTTP. It's calling getAsync. So this is using the HTTP client. So this is client-side code running in Windows 8. It's not a browser. There's no browsers involved. This is an HTTP client, which is shipped by the web API team, right? And so here we call into a getAsync method. So we're using await. Remember Scott talked earlier about await in web forms. So await and async are everywhere. So I run this, and it's going to await. The page can continue loading. Asynchronous loading, right? So then it's reading these contacts and it's going to populate them. So I think I've got another breakpoint a little bit lower. Yep. So it's just going to iterate through these contacts it gets back. And what's beautiful about this is on the server, remember I didn't need to do any work. If I call into my let's look back at our web API methods here in the controller, my contacts controller. So if I call get, there is nowhere in here where it does any kind of formatting. We just say return some contacts, you negotiate it with the client. So web API, you talk to the client, you find out what kind of syntax they want, and you return the right one, okay? So now let's go back over into the Windows Store application, and we'll see what's happening over there. So if we look at this, we've called a getAsync method, and we just said read async, and we're populating it. And so it's returned JSON data, and this is just automatically being deserialized for us as well. So I'm just iterating over my contacts. So in here, I didn't do anything here either to say what kind of syntax I need. I'm just calling in with an HTTP client and iterating over the results. So this is really powerful to get you out of the business of plumbing and into the business of just writing an application. So now what I'm doing is inside my Windows Store application, I'm iterating over and I've got back a contact and it's got, you know, name and email and everything, right? So I'm going to iterate. I've got three contacts in this list. And so I just populated those in this Windows Store app. It's using our Twitter avatars and populating, you know, name and everything there. So, and I could go through and I can page through this, right? So this is a Windows Store app. This is using standard HTTP calls. It's calling back into a web API service and just iterating over the results. So really, this is the entirety of the code. I'll zoom out slightly, but this is really the entirety of the code. So we have a load data async. We're creating a client. We're calling in and getting data from a service, and we're populating the control. You know, we're returning that as something that the Windows Store app can bind to. And with that, that's basically all the work that's required there. So really, that's about all I had to talk about with Web API. Is there more that you think is important to go into? Scott's happy. I'm happy. So let's look. I guess I'll go back in here to our overview, and we'll talk about what we learned there. So blazing light speed. We're going back in time. Okay. So what we talked about was, you know, how Web API fits in. So you're welcome to do what you'd like to return JSON and XML data. I would have to say that the simplest and probably the best answer usually is to use Web API now. If you are talking to machines and not returning HTML, Web API is a great fit. We talked about how it works and the model for developing with it. And then we talked about accessing that Web API data using first the web client with jQuery and Windows Store. And part of the reason I showed you Windows Store is to remind you that we're talking to clients, so you should think about writing, you know, your clients could be anything. They could be phone applications, applications running on another web server and Python, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm.
One thing that I think is worth pointing out that I hear gets mentioned a lot is this idea about web services and XML and WCF. Mm-hmm. And where is that in all of this?
That's a great point. I actually have a little slide about that, if I do.
I think that people need to remember that these kind of, let me put it this way and tell a little story if my voice holds out. So I worked in banking for years and years and years. And if the back-end banking system is talking to the other back-end banking system, WS security, certificates, you know, WCF, that's why that exists. Mm-hmm. But if the browser, the user's browser, user's browser is making a JSON call to the web server for, you know, account balances, that would be a great use for Web API.
Right. Can we switch over to the slide here? I think this shows kind of a, you know,
see, this
summary.
Is great. So this is exactly what I was saying. So when you need low-level TCP, web sockets, it's totally custom transports, or a transport that involves a queue or something like that, then WCF is what you want to use.
Right.
If you want full OData support, where the OData support is more than just the query string, it's also the body of the message, then you would use WCF OData. But if you're doing a front-end service, then that's Web API. Remember that ASP.NET Web API started as WCF Web API.
Yep, same team.
So WCF is fine, but WCF is more of a back-end service. Web API is more of a front-end service.
Right.
One is more REST-focused, one is more SOAP, or what I would call document-focused.
Right. So really, it's about the right tool for the job, right? So you've got these options. If you would like to use WCF to talk JSON to a browser, knock yourself out. But you're going to be doing a lot of work, and it's kind of not the best fit. And if you want to, you know, if you're talking using web standards or talking more webby sort of things, or, you know, this kind of lightweight, you know, even like my Windows Store app, I'm really just returning a list of contacts and I don't need federated identity and all this kind of stuff, right? Very easy to just, you know, use this lightweight model in HTTP.
Right. Another way to look at it would be, what did Web API replace? What aspect of WCF did it replace? Well, not really much of it, except the basic returning of JSON to the client.
Yeah, that's it. That's
right. So it's less that Web API replaced WCF, and more that ASP.NET Web API replaced ASP.NET page methods.
Yeah, it's really true.
Right, which is something you shouldn't be using anyway.
Exactly.
So don't feel bad that there are two choices. These choices exist for a reason.
Yeah.
Know why they exist and make an educated choice.
And WCF, of course, is still there, and it's a great choice if you need to do
exactly.
those sorts
and
of
if
things.
Any large system, like the banking system that I use as an example, will probably use all of the technologies.
Yeah.
You just need to use which one's appropriate. Should you be returning WS security XML blobs to your client? Well, depends on who your client is.
Right, right.
Is it Chrome? No. Is it a business-to-business back-end server or some AS400? Yes, probably.
Right, exactly. So I think that's a good place to end on. And we're actually up to a good spot to break for lunch. Thank you, and look forward to catching you in, what is it, an hour? I think we take an hour for lunch? Hour sounds good.